Thank you so much, Rick, for offering that wonderful song, that song about meeting the Master. We were in this space. Isn't that funny how this happens, Rick? We were here last Sunday, same time, same on a Sunday morning like this, and Rick, along with everyone else that was up here, they were singing "This Little Light of Mine." We know that song, "This Little Light of Mine." I'm going to let it shine. Promise I won't sing it. But I said, you know, I think Rick's holding back on this song, that he's not giving us everything. Rick, you gave us everything this morning. Thank you so much for it. You really did. And not only did he do that this Sunday morning, but he invited a phenomenal group that stood right here last Sunday evening. It's a group that's called New Ground. It is a gospel group. Did a fantastic job, and thank you for inviting them. Thanks for that wonderful music they were able to share in this space like this. And so thank you, Rick, for your faithfulness, not only in that song, but also leading us this morning in our worship music. Thanks so much. I want to invite you into a New Testament scripture. This is the scripture that has been in the background of everything that we've been doing this morning. But the scripture is in the New Testament. It's the Gospel of Luke. It's toward the end of the Gospel of Luke. This is after the resurrection of Jesus, but it's Luke chapter 24. I want to begin with verse 13 and continue through verse 35. I invite you to follow along in your favorite translation of the Bible. I'm going to be reading from translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. You can follow along on the screen as well if you would like to. But again, Luke chapter 24, and starting at verse 13, this is Easter. This is after the resurrection of Jesus. "Now on that same day," Luke writes, "now on that same day, two of them were going to a village that was called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all those things that have happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?' And they stood still, looking sad. And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?' And he asked them, 'What things?' And they replied, 'The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group, they astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, there they came back, and they told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Now some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. And then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into glory?' And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." And then in verse 28, "And as they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and he gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening up the scriptures to us?' And that same hour they got up, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they found that the 11 and their companions that were gathered together, and they were saying, 'The Lord has indeed risen, and he has appeared to Simon.' And then they told what had happened on the road and how it had been made known to them in the breaking of bread." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty God, as we come again into your presence, and as we center ourselves, O God, around your holy word, we give you thanks. We give you thanks not only for the words that you have spoken in our midst in this moment, but we give you thanks, O God, for the words that you have spoken that have led us to eternal life. And we pray and ask that as our hearts come together in this moment, that we may be able to meditate upon these words that you are speaking right now to us. Lord, open our eyes so that we may see you. Open our ears so that we may hear and understand. And Lord, let us, as your people, let us be present to you as you are present with us in the breaking of bread. And Lord, I thank you, O God, for the words that you have spoken into my heart. I pray and ask that as I speak this morning, Lord, that the words that I say, that they will be pleasing, that they will be acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and the one who saves us. Amen. And I hope that you see how appropriate Rick's song was as he led us into this moment when we read these scriptures from Luke chapter 24. This past Friday, I was able to meet with a few folks from here at Grace Point, here at the church. And we were able to go down to a school that is not too far away from us, Mount Olive Elementary School, just a couple miles away there. Thank you all for that we had a reason to go to that school. Thank you all for the many school supplies that you gave us, that you brought so faithfully here over the month of July, and we were able to take those. Early in the morning, we were able to take on to Mount Olive Elementary School, able to meet the principal. But what I immediately recognized is that as we were coming into there, and you know, our children are extraordinarily aware of this, but what I immediately recognized is meeting the principal, meeting one of the administrators that was at the school, is that as soon as we came into the hall that was just past the office there, there's an energy and an excitement that was just prevalent. I mean, I don't know if I'm the only person that felt it, but a few of you that were with us, I mean, you know, they were getting ready for something. And I mean, you could tell immediately, you know, you could feel it. We were there dropping off supplies, but suddenly we were in this mist of energy and this hustle and this bustle that was taking place. There were teachers that were coming up. What had happened, maybe this would be important to share, but what had happened is that early Friday morning, that had a faculty breakfast, that had a faculty meeting, and then there were teachers and there were substitutes that were working, you know, to make sure everything was ready for the upcoming school year, because it is very quickly approaching. But you know, one of the things about it is that us who are folks from church, us who are volunteers who are bringing school supplies, you can't help but be caught up in that excitement. You can't help but feel that kind of energy that sort of exudes out of that school and exudes out of that place. And I know for me, and I'm sure for everybody else, you know, those teachers have been at the top of my prayer list now as they get closer and closer to the brand new school year. But it brings me to this story in Luke, that kind of excitement, is that on Easter Sunday morning, Jesus has risen from the dead. As Luke will remind us, Luke, who tells this story, Luke tells us this story at the very beginning. He tells us that there are angels that are proclaiming that Jesus has been born. Angels have appeared to shepherds. And then once again, some women. Did you notice that in this reading from this morning? Luke chapter 24. There are a couple of followers of Jesus and they're walking. They don't immediately recognize, they don't immediately sense who Jesus is. Luke says that there was something, their eyes were kept from seeing Jesus. But they said some women have been to the tomb, some women have told us that he has risen, that Jesus has risen from the dead. And yet, Luke invites us on this road with two disciples who, well, they're sad. Because they assume that Jesus has been lost from them. We know. We know what it's like to lose people that we love. We know what it feels like to lose people that we have shared our lives with, that we have been close to. And on the day of the resurrection, why would Luke tell us this story about some disciples who are walking? Well, I don't know if you were able to hear or not, but one of our children asked that if we would pray as a church, if we would pray that they wouldn't get in trouble this year. Now, like I said, I don't know. I'm a parent, so I would say please pray for that, particularly if you're wondering about what names to associate with that. You can always associate my children's names with that. Well, even my children that are not in school, you can pray for them too. They won't get in trouble. So school is not just that's not the barrier. So you can pray, you know, they won't get in trouble. But it could be said that these disciples, these followers of Jesus, and there's some, you know, understanding about who we know Cleopas is one, but, you know, the other one, there's some, you know, biblical scholars they'll agree and they'll disagree on that. But we know a couple of followers of Jesus, could be said, but they're in a little bit of trouble themselves. Jesus was clear before Jesus died, and even at the moment of his resurrection, some of the other gospels remind us and some of the other ones tell us, Jesus would say this. Many of you probably know that when Jesus is crucified, when Jesus has been risen, you are to go and you are to wait in Jerusalem. How many of you have ever heard that you are to go and you are going to wait in Jerusalem? There you will be filled with power from on high. So when the Holy Spirit comes into our world, there you will be filled. The Holy Spirit will come. The Holy Spirit will fill you. Jesus will remind them that even though I may be gone, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Jesus will remind them so that where I am, there you may be one day. But in the meantime, there is going to be a comforter, the Holy Spirit, that is going to come to you. So wait. Wait in Jerusalem. These disciples, again, in a little bit of trouble, opposite direction, Jerusalem. 7 miles away, Luke's very clear about that. 7 miles away, and they're on this Emmaus road. And a stranger begins to talk to them. And as the stranger begins to talk to them and begins to explain to them what has taken place and begins to invite them to not only hear what the prophets have said and also invite them to not only hear what Jesus had in fact said to them while Jesus was with them, but begins to say it in a way that they begin to see the world in a different way. They beg this stranger to stay with them. Jesus is going to move ahead, is what Luke invites us to see. Jesus is going to go ahead of them, and yet they invite this stranger to stay with them. And then, with eyes that are now able to see, with hearts that they recognize were burning when this stranger was talking with them on the road, and now as they sit together and they see not a stranger anymore, but they see Jesus who breaks bread in front of them, and as they eat, with eyes that are open, with hearts that they recognize have been touched by Jesus, or as Rick sung this morning, by the Master, they recognize that the pain and the grief that is as hurtful as that might be, they recognize that Jesus is still going to be with them. The Holy Spirit is truly going to come and not only give them ears to hear, not only give them eyes to see, but is going to do something amazing in their hearts and amazing in their lives. And this is the very table that we're invited to this morning. It's the very table that Christ our Lord. We come together as Grace Point. We come together as United Methodist. But when we come to this table, we come at the invitation of Jesus. This is the invitation that Jesus gives. So you don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to be United Methodist to come to this table, because Christ, Jesus Christ, invites us to this table. And even if we have not recognized Jesus' presence in a while in our lives, Jesus does invite us to this table. Even though we may not have felt close to Jesus lately, in the breaking of this bread, also in this cup that is in front of us, Christ has promised to be present with me. Christ has promised to be present with you. And as the United Methodist Church teaches us, Christ promises to be present to the entire world. So what we're able to do this morning is we're able to come and we're able to celebrate at this table. And it's at that invitation that I'd like to invite you to come. I want to invite Reverend Tim Alexander, who is going to come. And Tim is going to lead us in a time of preparation as we prepare to come to this table and to receive Holy Communion. Got a red.
Okay.
There it is.
Thank you, Brother Eddie, for sharing that. How about that? Their eyes were opened. Christ was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And isn't it great that we get that opportunity today? And may our eyes be opened. May we know Jesus in the breaking of this bread. We're reminded today that we call this we call communion a holy sacrament. And a sacrament is an outward invisible sign of an inward and spiritual grace, whereby we receive the same. So today in Holy Communion, we're reminded that it's both a symbol of what Christ did for us, but it's also a means of receiving the grace and the love of Christ in our heart. So today as we receive, may Christ come into our hearts and into our minds as our eyes are open. We're reminded that on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty gifts, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let us pray. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here today and on these gifts of bread and wine. Lord, may they be for us, the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world, the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Lord, through your Holy Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Lord, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
And I would like to invite our musicians, if they will come, and you will be offered a piece of the bread, and you will be offered the cup.